Good morning and welcome to Sunday Mornings with Love and Action with Ken Tuck of Love and Action Ministries in Dothan. This program is made possible by a generous gift from 231 Lemon Lot in Midland City and Enterprise. And now, here is Ken Tuck.
Good morning and welcome to the broadcast. I'm so happy you could join me this morning, whether you're listening on the Joy FM or you're listening to the Joy FM online. Welcome. Glad you're with us. For the past 2 weeks, we have been talking about the Great Commission. We have talked about how important it is to live out the Great Commission. It's not just an event or a mission trip. It's a lifestyle. And last week we talked about who we should share Jesus with. We talked about sharing Jesus with strangers, with families, with friends and co-workers, basically everybody we come in contact with. And today I want to talk about, want to teach on how to lead somebody to Jesus. You may be saying, well, Ken, doesn't everybody know how to lead people to Jesus if they're a Christian? The answer to that is simply no. It's a fact, because if that was the case, then more people would be coming to Christ, and we would see people coming to Jesus throughout the world, because Christians would be fired up about sharing Jesus with others. And maybe it's something that's just not taught all that often in church. But whatever the reasons, we're going to talk about that today because it's just too important. We need to tell people about Jesus, and when they're ready to make that decision, we need to know how to lead them to Him. It all starts with Jesus. We have to remember the Great Commission. At the end, Jesus gives us that promise that He is always with us. So we have to go in confidence of knowing that Jesus is always with us. There's different ways to share Jesus with others. We did mention some last week. There's all kinds of opportunities when we're just in a regular conversation with people to bridge that conversation into talking about Christ, talking about our faith. And as I mentioned last week, we don't want to beat people over the head with the Bible. We want to show them love. We want to be humble. And we want to present Jesus in a humbling and loving way. One great way to do that is to share your testimony. And to share your testimony is very easy because it's your story. You know your story better than anyone. We have an example of that in the Bible in Acts as Paul shares his testimony. And you can go and read Acts chapter 26, verses 4 through 23, as Paul is sharing his testimony in front of King Agrippa. And his example is a great way for us to share our testimony. And there's really three parts to our testimony: how life was before Christ, when and how did we come to Jesus, and thirdly, what's our life been like after we've come to Jesus. And there should be a transformation there. We should see a difference. People should see a difference in us after we've come to Christ. If you've never shared your testimony with anyone, I want to encourage you to do so. And a good way to do that is to practice. I encourage you to write down your testimony. Remember what your life was like before Christ, when, where you came to Christ, and how's your life been after Christ. When you write out your testimony, you can go over it and become more familiar with it, become more comfortable sharing it. And remember, you have 3 to 5 minutes, usually, on average, to share your testimony with people, because we live in such a busy world. You know, people don't have a lot of time to listen. But if you can narrow it down to about 3 or 5 minutes, you can share your testimony with somebody, and it's really powerful. And when you do write it down, you can also share it on social media, Facebook, whatever social media you are on, you can share it. And I did that. I blogged my testimony and shared it on Facebook as well. I want to read it to you because I want you to see how really easy it is to write out your testimony and share it with others. So here it goes. I want to share a story with you. It's a true story, and one I know very well, because it's my story. I was blessed to be born in a wonderful Christian family with a mom, dad, brother, and sister I love dearly. I was raised in church, and at the age of 12, prayed to accept Jesus into my heart and was baptized. However, it really didn't mean much to me. I didn't take Jesus seriously. It did lay a firm foundation, though. As is the case with many teenagers, I became rebellious, and it continued into my early 20s. I sought after things that pleased and satisfied me. The old saying, sex, drugs, and rock and roll, was pretty much my motto, and I liked it. I enjoyed it. I was good at that lifestyle. However, when I started dating a young woman who had more faith than me, I started learning more about Jesus than ever before. I started hanging out with an evangelist named Andy Bryan. Many people loved Andy. He was one of a kind and a great man. Every time he preached, I felt a conviction, a tugging at my heart. Have you ever seen that cartoon where the devil was on one shoulder of a person talking into one ear and an angel on the other shoulder talking into the other ear? That's what I felt like. The devil was saying, "You're okay. You don't need what Andy is preaching." The other voice, which was the Holy Spirit, was saying, "You need Jesus. Now is the day of salvation." I kept pushing it off until one night in Clio, Alabama. Andy preached another awesome sermon, and I fought against the Holy Spirit's urging to go forward. I didn't respond, but taking my girlfriend home that evening, the Holy Spirit attacked me like never before, drawing me to Jesus. I didn't say one word while driving her home, which was highly unusual. When I pulled into her driveway, she asked, "What's wrong?" With tears in my eyes, I said, "I need Jesus. I'm not saved." She said, "You know what to do." Right there on that March night in 1989, in my Chevrolet Chevette, I prayed, repented, and gave Jesus my life. From that night, Jesus has been transforming my life. I'm far from perfect, but I no longer look to please myself or fulfill those sinful desires that were only destroying me. God changed my heart and my outlook on life. I want to please my Heavenly Father. I want to know Him more. I want less of me and more of Jesus. My desire is to tell others about Him and how they can receive forgiveness and eternal life through Jesus Christ. It's my heart's burning desire for people to know that Jesus is the only way, truth, and the life, and that He is the only way to the Father. God broke my heart more than 18 years ago for the homeless and the needy. Today I have the highest honor and privilege of serving Him with my beautiful wife Martha as we show the love of Jesus and tell people about our Lord and Savior every day. God called us to serve the least of these, and it is such a joy to do so. God has also called us to proclaim the gospel of Jesus Christ to unreached people groups in other parts of the world. He showed us long ago the truth of His great commission about going and making disciples of all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father, Son, and the Holy Spirit, and teaching them all that Jesus taught us. And we know His promise of always being with us. We have been blessed to preach the gospel in 7 different countries. I want you to know Jesus. If you have never given your life to Jesus, I encourage you to do so. I promise you will not regret it. It's not about thou shalt not do this or that. It's discovering the love of God Himself through His one and only Son, Jesus Christ. Romans 10:9 tells us, if we confess with our mouth that Jesus is Lord and believe in our hearts that God raised Him from the dead, we will be saved. So confess and believe. He will forgive you and give you life here and life eternal. Heaven and hell are real. Live for Jesus now and experience heaven. Or this earth will be the closest thing to heaven you will ever experience. If you are a follower of Jesus, then I encourage you to be a true disciple and go tell others about Jesus and make disciples who can make disciples. You don't have to be a pastor, evangelist, or president of a ministry to fulfill the Great Commission. I was in the workforce for 25 years, and I served Jesus at the same time. Being a follower of Jesus is a lifestyle, not an event, outreach, or mission trip. Let's let His light shine through all of us for His glory. To God be the glory. And that was my testimony, and I shared it. And I've shared it not just online, but with many other people. And it's very effective because people who don't know the Bible, they can read the stories of the Bible, and it can touch them. And it will. But when they know your story and they know you, they can touch you, they can see you, they can see your actions. And it's very real to them to hear what God has done in your life and how He has transformed your life through His Son, Jesus Christ. So share your testimony with others. As you're talking to people, it's okay to ask them what they believe in. It's important to see where they're at in their faith. Are they a believer in Jesus? Are they not a believer in Jesus and maybe they're another religion? Or maybe they just don't believe anything at all? Or maybe they're seeking. And it's important to find that out and to ask them where they're at in their faith. What do they believe in? Therefore, it's important for us to know the Scripture. And I always tell people, if you're not in the habit of reading your Bible every day, then make a new habit. We're creatures of habit. It's easy to do bad habits, but once we start creating those good habits, even the good habits become easy to do. So start making it a habit to read the Word of God, because we need His Word in us so we can share His Word with others. And don't be afraid about not being able to remember Scripture, because the Holy Spirit will bring that back to our remembrance as we start sharing with others. And it's okay to share with people and let them know what your faith is. You can talk to them, share verses with them. You can ask them, do they have a personal relationship with Jesus Christ? And if not, then you can share Matthew 16:24 with them, where Jesus says, if anyone wants to come with me, he must deny himself, take up his cross, and follow me. And that's the same invitation that Jesus gives us today. We need to make that decision to follow Jesus and let that decision be the most important decision of our lives. That scripture, take up your cross and follow me, that's a pretty tough scripture to start out with, but it's the truth. And you may not want to start out with that scripture, but you can work your way to it. Just letting them know that Jesus invited people to follow him when he was walking this earth. And we read about it in the New Testament. And that invitation is still open today to all who will come to him. And we need to make sure people understand that God's a loving God, and he doesn't want anyone to perish, but he wishes all to come to repentance. And you can read that in 2 Peter chapter 3, verse 9. And that's why he sent his one and only son, Jesus Christ. So share with people the most popular, most famous scripture in all the Bible, John 3:16. For God so loved the world that he gave his one and only son, that whosoever believes in him shall not perish, but have eternal life. I remember one time Martha and I were sharing the gospel with a woman in China, and she had never heard the gospel before. Nobody had shared it with her. And we were sharing the Word of God with her, and I pulled out my smartphone and I pulled up the Bible app and went to John 3:16, and I asked her to read it for herself because she could read English, and she did. And then I explained it to her and told her that's basically the gospel in one verse. It really touched her. The Lord just touched her that day. We prayed with her, and we were the first people to ever pray with her. So just being willing to share the Word of God with others will make a huge difference. And always remember, you're not alone, because Jesus is with you, as he tells us in the Great Commission. And remember Acts 1, where Jesus empowers us, all of his followers, with the Holy Spirit, so we can be his witnesses. He says we will be his witnesses. And so we're empowered by the Holy Spirit to do that. One popular method of sharing God's word with those who are seeking is called the Roman Road. I'm sure many people are familiar with it, but I want to go over that because it's so effective. I have seen many people come to Jesus by just leading them through scriptures in the book of Romans and showing them how to be saved. The Romans Road to Salvation is a way of explaining the good news of salvation, uses verses from the book of Romans. It's a simple yet powerful method of explaining why we need salvation, how God provided salvation, and how we can receive salvation, and what are the results of salvation. The Apostle Paul shows the saving righteousness of God. Since no one can be righteous before God by keeping the law, Paul explains the book of Romans that right standing with God comes through faith in the atoning work of Jesus on the cross. So let's take a trip down Romans Road. The first verse is Romans 3:23. For all have sinned and come short of the glory of God. We've all sinned, and people need to understand that. Just because we're Christian doesn't mean we are perfect or we've always been perfect. Now, people need to understand that we have all sinned and come short of the glory of God. And you can take them all the way back to Genesis and tell them the story of Adam and Eve, of how the first sin, the first disobedience to God came to being. When we do that, it kind of sets them more at peace of knowing, okay, I'm not perfect, I've messed up, but this person has too. And apparently everybody has, because that's what God's word says. Yes, everybody has sinned and fallen short of the glory of God. We've all done things to displease God. There is no one who is innocent. And the Apostle Paul shows that in Romans 3, verses 10 through 18. Now, you don't have to read this scripture to them, but if the Lord leads you to, by all means, do. Paul writes, I'll start in verse 9 in chapter 3. What then? Are we Jews any better off? No, not at all. For we have already charged that all, both Jews and Greeks, are under sin. As it is written, none is righteous, no, not one. No one understands, no one seeks for God. All have turned aside. Together they have become worthless. No one does good, not even one. Their throat is an open grave. They use their tongues to deceive. The venom of asps is under their lips. Their mouth is full of curses and bitterness. Their feet are swift to shed blood. And their paths are ruin and misery. And the way of peace they have not known. There is no fear of God before their eyes. Well, that perfectly describes society today in our world. So it's easy to see that without God, without Jesus Christ in our lives, we will sin, we will do evil, and Jesus is the one who can forgive us. And so as we travel down this Romans road, we're showing them, we're starting off by showing people, look, we're not innocent either. We've sinned, and we've fallen short of the glory of God. Then we take them on to the second verse, which is Romans 6:23. It teaches us about the consequences of sin. For Paul writes, for the wages of sin is death, but the gift of God is eternal life through Christ Jesus our Lord. The punishment that we have earned for our sins is death, not just physical death, but eternal death. There's a wages. When you receive a wage, that means you've earned something, right? And so when we sin, the wages, the earnings of that sin, that disobedience to God, is death. So we all deserve death. And we explain that to people. We are all deserving of death because none of us are innocent. We've all sinned. Then the next verse picks up where Romans 6:23 leaves off. And for that, we go to Romans chapter 5, verse 8. But God demonstrates his own love towards us in that while we were sinners, Christ died for us. Jesus Christ died for us. He paid the price for our sins. And his resurrection proves that God accepted Jesus' death as the payment for our sins, while God's righteousness and justice led to his plan of salvation through the death of Jesus. It was his love that motivated his plan. So what an awesome God we serve, and we're explaining this and we're painting this beautiful picture that we've all messed up. We've all been disobedient to God. We deserve death. We deserve punishment. But God loved us so much, he wanted to be reconnected with his creation, that he sent his one and only Son, Jesus Christ, to die on the cross to take the punishment for us. That is powerful, and that is awesome, beyond awesome, that Jesus took our punishment that we deserved. He took it on his body. And then when God raised him from the dead, that did show that God accepted Jesus' death as payment for our sins. So God is righteous, and he is loving, and he is awesome, and we need to let people know that. So many people have the wrong picture of God. They think it's this being way up on high who's just looking to throw lightning bolts at us, but that's not our God at all. Our God is loving, and he wants us with him. But because he's just and he's holy, he cannot look upon sin. So we have to go through Jesus, who took the punishment for us, to get back to God, to get back into relationship with God. And that's why Jesus came. Then our next stop along the Romans road to salvation is Romans 10:9. Paul writes, if you confess with your mouth that Jesus is Lord and believe in your heart that God raised him from the dead, you will be saved. So explain that to people. This is, how do you get saved? How do you give your life to Jesus? This is how you do it. You confess that Jesus is Lord and believe in your heart that God raised him from the dead. And the Word of God says you will be saved. Because of Jesus' death on our behalf, all we have to do is believe him. We trust in his death as payment for our sins, and we trust that God raised him from the dead. And the Word of God says we'll be saved. Romans 10:13 says it again. For everyone who calls on the name of the Lord will be saved. Everyone. It doesn't matter where we live out on this earth, what the color of our skin is, whether we're rich, whether we're poor, whatever, whoever. Jesus came for all of us. And all we have to do is to confess and believe. He tells us to repent of our sins and come to him, and he will save us. For salvation, the forgiveness of sin, is available to anyone who will trust Jesus as the Lord and Savior. And that's good news. That's the best news ever. And we need to share that good news with people. And so we need to get out and tell people. If something good happens in your life, we're usually pretty quick to go out and tell people. So when the best thing happens in your life, and that's Jesus, what's stopping us from telling people about him and about this awesome thing that's happened in our lives, how God has saved us, how he has set us free from sin, from bondage, from death? We don't have to fear death. People fear death because of the unknown. They just don't know what happens when they die. But we can tell them, look, if you receive Jesus as your Lord and Savior, you don't have to fear death anymore because Jesus conquered death. Jesus gave us victory over sin, over death. And if you just believe in Jesus, you confess him as your Lord and Savior, he will save you. He'll forgive you. And God will receive you into heaven for all eternity. And that's awesome news to tell people. We've got to get out and tell people about Jesus. Then the next stop along the Romans Road is the result of salvation. We've told people why we need Jesus in our lives and how we can be saved. And so what's the result of this salvation? Well, let's look at Romans chapter 5, verse 1. Therefore, since we have been justified by faith, we have peace with God through our Lord Jesus Christ. We have peace with God. What a picture that paints. Peace. That's what people seek after all over the world. And we can have peace with God through Jesus Christ as our Lord and Savior. Just trust him, and we'll have peace with him. Let's look at Romans 8, verse 1. Paul writes, there is now no condemnation for those who are in Christ Jesus. No condemnation. People don't want to be condemned for anything. And when you think about how we were condemned for our sins because the wages of sin is death, and then how Jesus saved us, set us free, and we're no longer condemned. There's no condemnation for those who are in Christ Jesus. Because of his death on our behalf, we will never be condemned for our sins. The last stop is a precious promise from God, Romans 8, verses 38 through 39. For I am convinced that neither death nor life, neither angels nor demons, neither the present nor the future, nor any powers, neither height nor depth, nor anything else in all creation will be able to separate us from the love of God that is in Christ Jesus our Lord. Nothing can separate us from Jesus. When we come to Jesus, we give him our lives. We confess him as Lord and Savior. Nothing, nobody can take that from us. And so as you're explaining Jesus to people, let them understand that when you come to Jesus, there's nothing, there's nobody that's going to separate you from him. Just come to Jesus today. And as you share your testimony, you share scriptures such as the Romans Road that we talked about today, then ask the person you're talking to if they're ready to receive Jesus as their Savior, if they're ready to make a decision. And if they are, then you have the opportunity to pray with them. And if they're not, here's a verse that you can share with them. Take them to 2 Thessalonians chapter 1, and in the second part of verse 7, read through verse 10. And to grant relief to you who are afflicted as well as to us, when the Lord Jesus is revealed from heaven with his mighty angels in flaming fire, inflicting vengeance on those who do not know God and on those who do not obey the gospel of our Lord Jesus, they will suffer the punishment of eternal destruction away from the presence of the Lord and from the glory of his might, when he comes on that day to be glorified in his saints and to be marveled at among all who have believed, because our testimony to you was believed. So read that to the person if they're not ready to receive Christ and ask them if they're okay with that. Suffer the punishment of eternal destruction away from the presence of the Lord. That's pretty eye-opening right there, and I don't know anyone who would really be okay with that. But ask them that. Ask them if they're okay with that. If they still aren't ready to make a decision for Jesus, then just let them know that you're going to be praying for them and ask if you can pray for them before y'all leave each other's company. And just let them know if they have questions to please ask you. Now, if they do say that they're ready to receive Christ as their Lord and Savior, then here's your opportunity to lead them in a prayer And there's no magical prayer out there or any prayer that's fixed in stone that you must pray. Just go by what we've read, that if they confess, if they believe, they shall be saved. So lead them in a simple prayer and just let them know that as they pray, that they just mean it in their hearts and they really, really mean it, then Jesus is going to save them. He's going to forgive them. And lead them in a simple prayer such as, "Dear Lord Jesus, I come to you a sinner in need of your salvation. I understand that you died on the cross to take my penalty for me, and you came back to life to give me eternal life. And I want to receive your forgiveness and your salvation right now. Forgive me for all my sins, and I repent and I turn to you, and I confess with my mouth that Jesus, you are my Lord and my Savior, and I believe with all my heart that God, you raised Jesus from the dead. Thank you for saving me. Thank you for filling me with your Holy Spirit. Help me to live for you day by day. In Jesus' name, amen." Just a simple prayer like that. And that person prays that prayer and believes in his heart or her heart as they pray. Jesus will come in. He'll forgive them. He'll cleanse them. And he'll give them eternal life. And then give them assurance. The Holy Spirit will give them assurance. But you can also give them 2 Corinthians chapter 5, verse 17, that all who come to Jesus are new creations. The old is gone, the new has come. So give them that assurance that the Word of God says, look, your past is just that. It's done with. It's over. Jesus has forgiven you and has washed all those sins away. Encourage them to be baptized as an act of obedience to our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ, as he commands us to be baptized. And it's a wonderful witness to others to see us immersed into the water, signifying that we have been baptized into the death of Jesus. And when we come up out of the water, signifying we are brought up into the new life that Jesus Christ has given us. So encourage the person who you just led to Christ. Get them plugged into a body of believers who are preaching, teaching the word, who are carrying out the Great Commission. Then the discipleship starts. That's very important, because a person who first comes to Jesus, they're likely not to know how to pray or how to study the Bible or what to do next. And that's our opportunity to show them. Don't just leave it up to a pastor to show them that, or an elder or a deacon. You can do that. Jesus tells us all to go and make disciples. So you can make a disciple by following the Word of God and by teaching others all that Jesus has taught us. I hope today's teaching has helped you gain some confidence in going out and sharing Jesus with others, giving you some ideas on how to share Jesus, because it's just too important not to do. We have to go out and share Jesus. So I hope this has encouraged you. I thank you for joining us today. If you have any questions, please feel free to email me at ken.tuck@loveinactionministries.com. You can check out our website, loveinactionministries.com, for more information about the ministry. And you can also follow us on Facebook. Hope you have a great rest of the day and a great week. May God bless you and keep you. In Jesus' name.
You've been listening to Sunday Mornings with Love in Action with Ken Tuck from Love in Action Ministries in Dothan. This program is made possible by a generous gift from 231 Lemon Lot in Midland City and Enterprise. To find out more about Love in Action Ministries, go to their website, loveinactionministries.com, or on Facebook.